Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 127 for a year of the Bible, looking at the very end of the first book of Chronicles, which is to say, looking at the middle of the Chronicles. First and Second Chronicles were originally a single work that had to be divided up to go on two scrolls. So if you get to the end of First Chronicles, then you're in the very middle of the chronicle work overall, written by the chronicler, as we call him or call her, the chronicler. And so what we have at the end here, it's a good place to divide it up, it's a good place to stop, is the so long farewell from King David. Where are we? 27 and 29? 27 through 29. We see in David's goodbyes here, and in what David focuses on, and all that kind of stuff, the interest of Chronicles over against, let's say, Kings and Samuel, where we heard some of the same stories. They're different here. How? Because for the chronicler, worship is the most important thing. The temple is the most important thing because worship is the most important thing. The most important thing about Israel is its faithful worship. So, chapter 27 starts with all the army divisions. Hooray! We're not going to go over that. The leaders of the tribes of Israel. Another mention of the census that was so bad. Overseers of everybody. All right, that's 27. 28. And again, why do you record these things? Well, one reason might be that you're coming back from exile. I don't know if you want to get things exactly the way they were. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But, you know, having a record of, you know, what happened, you could see how that would be very, very useful. Anyway, the important stuff, though, is chapter 28, David's plans for the temple, which he gives to Solomon, as well as to the people more broadly. He summoned all the officials of Israel to assemble at Jerusalem, and then he goes and names all of the types of people that were going to be here, and he says, "Listen to me, my fellow Israelites, my people," and he tells them what it is that he wants them to do. But check out chapter 28, starting in like verse like 4-ish, 4 through like 7. There's all this talk about sons, like not daughters, but sons, and sonship. Look at the word son there. Depending on your translation, you may even have an extra one. Yet the Lord, the God of Israel, chose me. The NIV has "from my whole family," but I think it is literally from my father's sons to be king over Israel. Yada yada yada. From my father's sons. Of all, and then David says, "Of all my sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne." And then the Lord said to me, "David, Solomon, your son is the one who will build my house and my courts." And then listen to this: "For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father." That's a big deal. In the context of all this talk about sonship and relations and, you know, families and all that kind of stuff, God steps in and says, "And Solomon is my son." Whatever Solomon's relationship is to other people, to various other people, which could be good, could be bad, regardless, the most important one is that he is God's son. That's a very sort of notable point. Then David gives this address to Solomon, to the people, but to Solomon. If it sounds familiar, you see there's a parallel here between David and Solomon and Moses and Joshua, right? So Moses is the one who, you know, gets them all through the wilderness and all that kind of stuff, but is not able to enter the promised land. Similarly, David is the one who makes all the plans for the temple, you know, establishes Jerusalem, sets up the tabernacle, buys the threshing floor, takes over Jerusalem in the first place, gets all the plans done, starts collecting all the materials and all that kind of stuff. But he's not the one who is going to build the temple, right? He's not the one. David has blood on his hands in such a way that God doesn't want David's sin to be sort of like built into the temple. It's going to have to be somebody else. It's going to have to be Solomon. Now, Solomon is at this point young and inexperienced. It's said about him several times. You feel kind of bad for the guy. Solomon, he's young and inexperienced. Like, yeah, we got it. Thanks. You know, Dad, why do you keep saying that? But to this young and inexperienced Solomon, David says, be strong and do the work. I love that. He says it several times. He will not fail you. Be strong and courageous and do the work. Now, who does that sound like? Be strong and very courageous. Those are the words of Joshua. Joshua to his successors when it's time for him to leave. But the Moses is to Joshua as David is to Solomon, sort of parallel there is really good and I think is true. The Lord had someone else in mind. That does not mean that David's work was not important. On the contrary, it's incredibly important. Someone else was going to have to, cross them over into the promised land. It also shows that God has made this covenant with David and with his descendant, calling him his son forever in such a way that it's binding on God, right? God cannot revoke the covenant without doing harm to his own self, to his own purity, to his own justice. So there's something very important about that. The election of them, like the election of Israel over, in general, is one that binds God and David and David's son Solomon forever in a way that is irrevocable. And this is why Jesus's lineage to David is so important, and this is why it's so meaningful, right? I mean, God made this promise to David, irrevocable promise, binds them together, right? Binding them together. And how is that going to manifest itself? How is that going to, cash out? And it manifests itself. It cashes out with Jesus, David's greater son. So there you are. Very last thing I want to say about, I don't know. He prays a lot. They acknowledge him as king again. They acknowledge Solomon as king again. Chronicles uninterested in all of the back and forth with the other brothers and the Adonijah and all that kind of stuff. Uninterested. That's for the chronicler. That's not the point. The thing that matters is the faithful worship. There you go. All right. So I will leave that. I will leave that there for now. Onwards and upwards to the next thing. There's a lot there, but we'll begin with, Second Chronicles, tomorrow. Good old Solomon asked for wisdom. The young and inexperienced Solomon, asked for some wisdom and God bless him for it. All right. Let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will talk to you again tomorrow.